I'm Stephanie Sachs, and I like to stir the pot. Stirring the Pot brings together the best minds in food, nutrition, and health to discuss some of the hottest topics. Each week, we offer answers to your burning questions, share a good brand, a weekly yum recipe, and have a rock-solid guest. It's our goal to inform and inspire when it comes to my lifelong passion. In the 1980s, my obsession with food and how it impacts health began. After years of schooling, I'm proud to call myself a culinary nutritionist, a professional chef with a master's degree in nutrition. Now I help people get healthy and stay healthy by giving them the lowdown on what the fork they're really eating. Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious, is proudly presented by Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa and Saunders & Associates. Stirring the Pot.
Stirring the Pot. Today's show is the Paleo Diet. And I'll be speaking with Dr. Loren Cordain, the world's foremost authority on the evolutionary basis of diet and disease. But before we dive into that, here's Drive-Thru Nutrition. Beep, 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 yeah. In a fast-paced world of bad food choices, how can you make better ones? In other words, what can you tweak in your day-to-day to make a difference in your health? I had somebody recently approach me to ask me what I thought of Weight Watchers. Knowing that I was not somebody who typically subscribed to strict dietary regimens, I will tell you this. Weight Watchers is actually a program that I like. I'm not crazy about the food that they have to offer, but I like them because they really teach people how to eat. They teach you how to manage quantity, portion sizing, and I think that that's really important when trying to lose weight. If you need to lose a little weight, definitely don't rule Weight Watchers out, but make your own food. If you want to be on Drive-Thru Nutrition to address your questions or concerns, post your thoughts on my Facebook page, Stephanie Sachs. Engage in the conversation because doing so could make a difference in your health.
You're listening to Stirring the Pot with Stephanie Sachs on WPPB 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, Southampton, New York, serving the east end of Long Island and southern Connecticut.
Now on to the good brand of the week.
Oh, what did you bring me?
Well, it's more like what did Sarah bring you this week? Mm. My trusted assistant and right hand, Sarah Sabreez, makes a lot of calls to great companies doing the right thing and gets good brand scent, and we get to taste them and feature them on the air. What a great thing to do. Sarah, what did you bring here?
So the lovely Mackenzie over at Alive and Radiant sent us some kale chips. We have two different flavors today. We have chocolate kale chip and quite cheesy, which is rich cheddar flavor without the cheese, so they're vegan.
Kale is becoming quite prominent in the food industry. I'm seeing it everywhere.
It is.
Specialty shops will see kale chips. So let me see. Let me try that one.
That one's the quite cheesy. Very crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
What's great about this brand is they sprout, mix, and dehydrate all of their ingredients at low temperatures. So
that's good.
And all their fats come from heart-healthy nuts and seeds. They don't bake or fry. It's all dehydrated.
This tastes really good.
Yeah, so it's a great alternative to your mainstream chip. And Sarah downed all the chocolate, I guess, the chocolate kale, because that's her fave. That's her fave. So if you want to find these guys, you can get them locally in a lot of shops, but you can find them online at aliveandradiant.com.
Cigarettes and chocolate milk. These are just a couple of my cravings. Everything it seems I like's a little bit stronger, a little bit thicker, a little bit harmful for me. If I should buy jelly beans, have to eat them.
And now it's time for our guest. Dr. Loren Cordain is widely acknowledged as the world's leading expert on the Paleolithic diet and is the founder of the Paleo Movement. Dr. Cordain is the author of more than 100 peer-reviewed scientific articles and abstracts, and his research into the health benefits of this dietary lifestyle for contemporary people has appeared in the world's top scientific journals. He is also on the advisory board of the Paleo magazine, the first and only print magazine dedicated to the paleo, primal lifestyle, and ancestral health. Dr. Cordain's New York Times best-selling The Paleo Diet has been widely acclaimed in both the scientific and lay communities and was fully revised in 2010. You can often find him featured on Dateline NBC, the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. Dr. Cordain, it's a great honor to have you stir the pot with me. Thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here.
So can you explain to my listeners what the premise of the paleo diet is?
Sure. You know, I think people have always been interested in finding out what is the best way to eat for health and well-being. And what I've done and my scientific colleagues have done is we've taken the most powerful idea in all of biology and medicine, Darwin's theory of evolution through natural selection, and we've applied it to nutrition. And one of the famous Russian geneticists, Dobzhansky, said that nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution. And what we've done is we've taken that concept and we said nothing in nutrition makes sense except in the light of evolution. So we've taken one of the most powerful ideas in all of biology and medicine and simply used it to help us understand and give us a guiding template for what humans should be eating for health and well-being.
So how did you first get interested in ancestral health and the paleo lifestyle?
Well, I've always been interested in health and well-being. I was an athlete in college at track and field and in high school and what have you, and I was interested in, you know, what I could do to improve my performance through diet. And, you know, so having grown up in the 60s, you know, we had many ideas of what was a healthful diet, and I think in those days people thought that a vegan or a plant-based diet was the healthiest. And so my ideas on all this came about when I read a paper in 1987 by Boyd Eaton from Emory University in the New England Journal of Medicine titled Paleolithic Nutrition. And so that paper really was the beginning point for me to kind of understand this and really dedicate my life and my research to this idea.
So going back to the premise for the paleo diet, what kind of foods does it include when we talk about ancestral health? What are we looking at?
Well, you know, when we look at our ancestors, we look, all of us on the planet are hunter-gatherers, and even though that may seem to be historically remote, that time frame on an evolutionary time scale is very recent. It's only been 300 human generations since we were all hunter-gatherers. And when we look at the food that our ancestors, our hunter-gatherer ancestors, ate, they ate unadulterated, fresh, wild plant and animal foods. And so the idea with the contemporary, the modern paleo diet, is for us to emulate the foods and the food groups that our ancestors ate. Obviously, we can't eat like our hunter-gatherer ancestors. It would be impossible to eat wild plant and animal foods daily. But what we can do is we can eat contemporary and modern foods that we find in the supermarket that emulate the nutritional characteristics of the foods our ancestors ate.
So we're talking about ideally avoiding a lot of the processed foods and focusing on protein and plant-based foods as well?
Yeah, I think an amazing statistic that will interest your listeners is that from our research we published in high-impact factor nutritional journals around the world, my popular writings stem from our scientific writings from our research group, is that 70% of the calories in the typical U.S. diet come from four foods: refined sugars, refined grains, refined vegetable oils, and dairy products. And if you mix those, what you see that we're talking about are common processed foods. You can call it bread, you can call it pizza, you can call it cookies, you can call it chips, you can call it ice cream, you can call it whatever you want, but it's those same four food groups. And we eat 70% of our calories from those four food groups. Our hunter-gatherer ancestors ate virtually none of their calories from those foods. So the idea behind this diet then is to take those modern foods, those processed foods, and replace them with real living foods. So the foods that you can obtain in the outside aisle of the supermarket, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, seafood, meats, eggs, poultry, are the foods that comprise the basic part of this diet for living.
And what about carbohydrates? Are you doing like legumes and nuts and seeds as part of the diet as well?
The majority of the carbohydrates, as I've alluded to, in the Western diet come from refined grains, refined sugars, and you know, dairy products and foods that are based from those foods. And so what we're saying is that carbohydrate in our diet should come from fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. And when we do that, the carbohydrates content of our diet is considerably lower than what it is in the typical Western diet. In the Western diet, we eat more than half of our calories from carbohydrate, whereas when you eat your carbohydrate from fresh fruits and vegetables, it's difficult to get beyond 35% of your calories.
So then based on your research, what are the benefits from a health perspective of the paleo diet? What can people expect if they go on a paleo diet?
Well, you know, this is a really cool question, and you shouldn't listen to me. You shouldn't listen to any charismatic individual. What you should do is you should always let the data speak for itself.
Right. And I like that answer. Great answer.
Well, thank you. And you know what? And that's what this is all about, is it's not my diet. It's a diet for all of humanity. And what we have done is we've simply uncovered what was pre-existing. Scientists from around the world have looked at the way humans have eaten, and whether you're from South America, North America, Asia, or what have you, when you get beyond the agricultural revolution and you go back to a certain time, we all ate in a very similar manner, eating the fresh fruits and vegetables and meats and living foods that were found in our environment. So that's really what this diet is all about, is trying to emulate the dietary characteristics of people who eat in the real world.
It's like getting back to basics. That's what I like.
Yes.
Is there evidence that the diet can actually prevent and help manage illness? And
that's kind of what I was leading into with this last question, is that we need to rely upon science and not opinion. And so in the scientific community, the strongest data are what are called randomized controlled trials, in which you actually put people on these diets, and then you measure before and after. We now have, perhaps, I want to say close to two dozen, maybe 15 to 20 studies that have examined the paleo diet and have compared them to diets that people think are healthful, you know, the USDA food pyramid, Mediterranean diet, you know, whatever. And so far, the evidence is very powerfully in favor of the paleo diet. And so of the, as I mentioned, of the 15 or 20 studies, we only have a single study that shows otherwise. Almost all of them show that paleo diet is superior to the food pyramid, the Mediterranean diet, to diabetic type diets, in terms of helping reduce disease and disease symptoms that seem to plague us all in the Western world, including hypertension, high cholesterol, overweight, type 2 diabetes, you name the symptoms.
Well, I know its effectiveness because I use it in practice with clients of mine, and firsthand evidence is that it does really help a lot of people. So thank you for all this great research, which I know is available on your site, too. There are links to many resources regarding the paleo diet on your website. So we'll be right back to continue the conversation with the world's leading authority on the paleo diet, Dr. Loren Cordain. I'm Stephanie Sachs, and with me is Dr. Loren Cordain, the world's leading authority on the paleo diet and the author of The Paleo Diet and multiple related books. So, Dr. Cordain, we were talking about the premise of paleo, the different nuances of the paleo movement, and I want to know, what kind of basic advice can you give somebody who wants to try the paleo way of life?
Well, I think the bottom line is that, as I'd mentioned earlier, is that 70% of the calories in the typical U.S. diet come from four foods: refined sugars, refined grains, refined vegetable oils, and dairy products. And those four foods form basis of all modern processed and junk food. So you can call it bread, you can call it cereal grains, you can call it pizza, you can call it a donut, call it whatever you will, but it's the same four foods. And from the time we are weaned until we die, we eat 70% of our calories from those four foods. And so my point is like the old fairy tale, the king wears no clothes, is pointing out the obvious, is that we shouldn't eat 70% of our calories from those four foods. We should try to eat real living foods, fruits, fresh vegetables, seafood, meats, and eggs and nuts. And so the real basic idea here is do your shopping primarily in the outside aisles of the supermarket and stay away from the mid aisles.
So now what if, you know, somebody wants to approach the paleo diet and it feels a little too extreme to them, let's say removing some of the cereal grains like we were talking. Is there a modified approach that you'd recommend?
Well, I think I just want to ask your listeners to apply to logic is that humans don't, nor does any primate, have a cereal grain requirement, nor do we have a dairy requirement. No primates, no mammals consume the milk of another species after they're weaned, and no primate consumes cereal grains. So why should we be any different? And when you eliminate dairy products and grains, along with refined sugars, then, you know, what's left to eat? So that's really kind of the premise and the governing idea here is that we need to eat the foods that occur naturally in our environment that are fresh and living.
I'll tell you, industrialized agriculture has done us in.
I think you're right.
It's unbelievable. So what are the never-eat foods when on the paleo diet? We're talking, when we say cereal grains, you know, most people will think about, you know, a box of cereal. But it's more than just that, and I want you to explain that. And then also, do you permit legumes and nuts and seeds?
Well, you know, we don't live in a hunter-gatherer world. We live in the 21st century,
right.
And it's very difficult for us to avoid foods that are, you know, contemporary foods.
Right.
But we can do our best, and I think by focusing upon real living foods, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, grass-produced meats, seafood, farm-produced eggs, and what have you, we can go a long way improving our health. And so when I wrote my books, I realized that, you know, we can't be extremists. What we have to do is we have to provide people with a template, with an idea that will help them. And so that we came up with this concept of 85-15. If you're about 85% compliant with a diet, 15% non-compliant, meaning that you might have 1 to 3 meals out per week, most people do pretty well health-wise. They seem to lose weight. They seem to improve symptoms. The diseases of insulin resistance and what have you seem to subside when you get processed foods out of your diet. So that's really the message that I'm trying to deliver. We simply can't eat like our ancestors did,
right,
you know, 10,000 years ago. But what we can do is we can eliminate or severely reduce processed foods in our diet. And you know, I think those kind of goals are something that the USDA and the you know, the Centers for Disease Control and many nutritional groups, the American Heart Association,
right,
wouldn't have any problems with. But when they hear it clumped under this concept, quote-unquote, a paleo diet, they're very skeptical. But when they hear that, hey, wait, what we're really saying is, wow, Americans shouldn't be eating white flour,
mm-hmm,
white bread, white sugar, and cookies,
right,
it's like, ah, that's a pretty good idea.
Well, you know, and it's funny, I wouldn't even call the paleo way of life a diet. I actually call it more of sort of a food theory. And much like, you know, being vegetarian or vegan or macrobiotic is, and it's really a food lifestyle choice that people can make. And I love your, you know, your percentage rule of, you know, of, what is it, 85-15, that, you know, we can't be extremists, and we have to meet people where they're at as professionals, and people also have to be easier on themselves, because I think you set yourself up for failure when you do anything too extreme.
You know, that's your point is very well taken, and that's kind of the idea my wife and I had. You know, Lori kind of helped me come to, you know, well, how can we make this workable for everybody? Clearly, this is how the evolutionary perspective, this is where it takes us. It shows us what we ate. We didn't eat grains. We didn't eat dairy products. We ate no processed foods. We had no salt, blah, 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 blah. Well, that's a really kind of a difficult, you know, thing to do in the 21st century. But what we can do is we can minimize those foods in our diet. And it's really not a diet, as you mentioned. It's a lifestyle.
It really is.
It's a way to eat, a way to think, and a way to move forward to maximize your potential in life and minimize the, you know, potential for getting chronic degenerative diseases. So that's the idea. And
well, I love it. I mean, I just love your approach. I love the idea behind paleo, but I actually love that you put this idea out there and, you know, you're not holding a knife to anybody's neck. You're saying this is the research and this is the way you can go about doing this. And, you know, we can't be extremists. And so I really appreciate that approach, because I don't think that a lot of books out there offer that. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying that to my listeners, because I know that they will be interested in hearing something like that. So just quickly, what are some of your favorite recipes or foods that you've kind of come across over the years?
Well, you know, I'm a scientist.
Right.
You know, I'm not a food guy. And so, you know, I have all kinds of people that have approached this from all kinds of directions. And, you know, famous chefs and, you know, people that prepare food from all over the world. And you can go online and you can see them all, because it's been embraced not just by me, but thousands of people. And so I would kind of defer to those folks that have figured out how to make all of these things tasty. Now, we have a website, and my wife and myself, and we have a number of professional, recipe makers and cooks and what have you that have, you know, figured out how to make everything taste good and combine modern foods. Now, for me, I'm kind of simplistic. You asked
right.
me a direct question, and, you know, what do I like? I tell you what, I'm pretty easy. It's like in the morning, and one of my favorites, if we can afford it, is seafood. And it's like whatever we had last night, cold is really good for me. So one of my favorites is crab.
Ooh.
Cold crab and a little bit of fresh fruit is about as good as it gets for my breakfast.
Wow. That sounds interesting. I like that. So where can people learn more about you and your work, including books, resources, and, of course, the research?
Well, you know, I have a website, www.thepaleodiet.com, and we, fortunately, have become one of the largest websites in the world now, and we get over 1 million hits a month to our website.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so it's been pretty humbling to see this kind of interest worldwide, and we have daily new blogs and recipes and foods and you know, all of my scientific publications and even my popular writings, everything is available for free on that website. So
great.
I would encourage your readers to go there, and that would be a good starting point.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Lorraine Cordain, thank you for shining the light on paleo.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah, now it's time for our weekly Yum, Coast to Coast with Sax and Katz.
Life is just a bowl of cherries. Don't make it serious. Life's too mysterious. The sweet things in life to you were just loaned. So how can you lose what you've never owned? Life is just a bowl of cherries. So live and laugh at it all.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Stephanie.
So I gave Jack, my older son, a little project. And I handed him Weeknight Wonders by my dear friend, Ellie Krieger. And I said, buddy, go through the book and pick out recipes that you want me to talk about on the radio show. So his first pick was Ellie's steak fajitas from Weeknight Wonders. And in this recipe, first of all, the photography is gorgeous. And Ellie is just such a wonderful, wonderful chef. She's also a registered dietitian. She really knows how to bring nutritious and delicious together. And in these fajitas, we've got, you know, steak. And she's, you know, pretty particular about getting grass-fed beef at all times. And we're looking at bell pepper and garlic and tomato and cumin and coriander and cayenne, avocado. So, I know, right?
You've got me.
I got you at hello, right?
You had me at steak fajitas.
Right.
I mean, and all these wonderful ingredients that Ellie is using are so, I mean, the anti-inflammatory spices and, you know, the lycopene and the tomatoes and the creaminess, all that great, you know, wonderful glutathione and vitamin E and that avocado that's just going to pump up your cells until they're just so happy and you feel like you're 2 years old again. And I mean, it's just one big yum, yum.
I'll tell you, you add a level of enlightenment to food like no other.
Everybody should walk around feeling like their cells are just like, you know, young, and we're feeling good after we eat. This is a, you know, leave it to Jack.
Yeah, I know. Leave it to Jack.
Yes. And are you going to tell everybody how great his knife skills are, by the way?
I know. You got to experience them when we were in California. He's got great knife skills. And the thing I love about this recipe, too, though, is you could use it with chicken. You could use it with fish. So it's really versatile.
Yes, great flavor prints here, you know. Whenever you're talking about using cumin and coriander and tomatoes and avocado, you really can do just about anything with that.
So definitely don't forget to check out the weekly Yum recipe. This week it's steak fajitas, and you can find it on my blog at stephaniesachs.com. If you want to opt into the paleo diet, or any dietary regimen for that matter, seek out the true experts for guidance. Never forget that food is medicine. So shifting your diet, even if healthy, should be done with the proper support. So subscribe to Stone Age with Dr. Lorraine Cordain by your side. I'd like to thank my guests, Dr. Lorraine Cordain, Rebecca Katz, and to everybody who helps me stir the pot, including Geir Magnuson, Sarah Soubrise, and James Blue Ice. I welcome you to engage in conversation by finding me on Facebook at Stephanie Sachs. My Twitter handle is Stephanie_Sachs, and that's Stephanie with an F for food. You can catch everything Stirring the Pot, sneak peeks of my upcoming book, What the Fork Are You Eating?, and upcoming speaking engagements. And don't forget to sign up for my weekly blog at stephaniesachs.com. This show would not be possible without the generous support of Naturopathica Healing Arts Center and Spa. And thank you for tuning in to WPPB 88.3 for Stirring the Pot, where nutritious always meets delicious.